Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Killswitch by Amber Lynn Natush, narrated by Carly Robbins. Prologue. I heard the screams in the distance and knew that he had returned for another. This time I could not remain silent. This time he'd struck too close to home. Helena! I shouted, breaking through the gate to find her. I had to get to her before he disappeared. If he did, I'd never see her again. As I sprinted down the street, the buildings flew past in my peripheral vision. I shouted her name repeatedly, praying I wouldn't be too late. The PC had failed to come to our aid when I called for them. It was up to me to stop him. I was the only one that could. Everyone else had already succumbed to his powers. Unfortunately for him, I wouldn't. With arms and legs pumping, I rounded the corner that led to the abandoned grain refinery. I could see an unfamiliar car parked in front of it, a slick, fancy black sedan that had no business being in a town like ours. It was his. I was sure of it. Helena hadn't yet been taken. I still had a chance to save her. I approached the building with care, knowing that he had already heard me coming. I'd been foolish to call for her, but I wanted her to know that she wasn't alone. But in my silence, I became aware of hers. There were no sounds of a struggle, no more strangled cries. My chest tightened at the realization. With a quickened pace, I stormed into the building. Broken glass crunching underfoot did nothing but announce my presence. But I didn't care anymore. I knew his magic wouldn't work on me. I just needed to let him close enough for him to find that out. Then the madness would stop. Helena would be safe. Looking for something? A smooth and seductive voice called to me from the darkness. My sister, you can't have her. So young. So foolish. I could see his dark form dancing through the shadows just out of sight, just out of range. I can have whatever I want.
The PC is coming, I said, my voice shaking slightly. They know what you're doing.
A flash of darkness whizzed past me, blowing my hair back from my face. Do they now? His voice was ice in my ear. It froze me in place, but not with magic, with fear. But I have committed no crime. I could feel the press of his words against me. But unlike everyone else, they did not settle upon my mind.
You have, I said, inching my hand toward the blade tucked away under my jacket. And it stops today.
With adrenaline surging through me, I ripped the dagger from its sheath and swung my arm around, aiming to hack his head off. I knew it would take more than one blow, but the first would be enough to stun him. I'd gladly finish the job after that. He parried my blow easily, wrenching my arm up behind my back at an impossible angle. The snapping of bone echoed through the empty building. Fear now replaced my adrenaline.
You are right about one thing, my little Null, he whispered in my ear. It will end today, at least in this town. Perhaps you'll find comfort in that. Pity that you won't be alive to see the fruits of your sacrifice.
I bit down on my lip until it bled. My fate was sealed. I'd made sure of that when I'd underestimated him.
Helena!
I screamed one last time. Only silence answered my call.
I will take good care of her. I'm sure she'll love Chicago, he said, letting go of my arm.
His hands clamped down on either side of my face, lifting it up to face the far side of the room where my sister stood, cloaked in the moonlight that shone in through the broken windows. Her empty expression met my stare, then, in a blur of motion, the room before me flew past. A single sharp pain shot through my neck. Then, the world went dark.
Chapter 1. The present slammed into me like a rogue wave. I scrambled back away from my brother Nico until I bumped into T.S. While I tried to get to my feet, legs shaking, the two of them stared at me with wide eyes. Their disbelief, however, could not surpass my own. Whatever had just happened to me, whoever's last moments I'd just relived, had blindsided me completely, leaving me a ragged, breathing mess in T.S.'s grasp. "What the fuck was that?" I asked, barely able to force the words out. The victim's adrenaline coursed through me as though it were my own, leaving me in a state of fight or flight, like nothing I'd ever experienced.
"You tell me,"
Nico countered, staring at me like I had three heads. His normally emerald green eyes had gone black as night.
"One second I'm touching a teenage corpse, the next I've got your hands on me and I'm seeing everything he did before he died."
"Did you think I knew that was going to happen?" His silence was answer enough. "Jesus, Nico! I've never done any of this shit before. I just wanted to see what you were doing and then bam, I'm sucked into whatever hell that just was."
"That was the kid's death, Fira."
I swallowed hard. "You mean that literally, don't you?" He nodded, a grim expression overtaking his countenance. His normally olive-skinned face had gone pale.
"You and Alec have your empath gifts," he explained, coming to stand before me. "Mine has always been to see flashes of memory of the victim at the time of death, but nothing like that, ever."
"Something happened," I said, my voice soft and empty. "Something you didn't expect." He nodded yet again.
"I've never experienced anything like that before. It was so real, like I was the victim."
"Me too," I whispered. "I felt it all."
"I felt it too,"
Alec, my other brother, said as he approached us.
"But not the victim. I could feel the killer through the victim. Before today, I would get hints at a crime scene, residual energy left from the attacker. But now it's like an energetic ID imprinted on my mind."
"Holy shit, this is insane."
"I think that your fully integrated abilities, Saphira, now combined with your brother's, have created an entirely new gift,"
T.S. observed from behind me.
"One that exploits your sibling connection."
"I feel like gift is a bit of a misnomer," I replied dryly. I looked down at the poor boy with the broken neck and wondered who had done this to him. He'd been so brave to go after his sister, a child against an unknown immortal. If it was true that he'd been a null, someone who could neutralize the supernatural abilities of others around him, then I knew we were dealing with a big bad for sure. Someone who would remain calm in the face of his powers being rendered useless. Unfortunately for the young boy at my feet, he couldn't nullify his attacker's strength.
"We need to find his people,"
Nico said, pulling me from my thoughts.
"I will take his picture into town. It shouldn't be long before we have an answer as to who he is. This is a small supernatural community. It would be impossible for him to go unknown here,"
Alec said. "Unless he isn't from here," I pointed out.
"Possibly, but that would mean his sister isn't either. Would it not?"
"How did you—"
"You were screaming her name. You said who she is, or the victim did, to be more accurate."
"Oh."
"It was difficult to watch you, Fira," he added, his dark eyes narrowing. "When your head whipped around and you fell back, breaking contact with Nico, you just laid there for a moment as if you too were dead."
"Yeah, I don't think I like this little gift of ours, brother."
"Agreed,"
Nico chimed in, coming to stand beside me. The three of us hovered over the boy for a moment before T.S. found a piece of tarp to cover him with. The boys started to walk away, prepared to search for the family, but I couldn't leave him. Not yet. The guilt I felt as I stared down at the filthy blue plastic covering the young teenager was too great to handle. He'd called for the PC to do their job, and they'd failed him. Failed him because of me. I was the reason that boy was dead, and the anger that brewed inside me with that knowledge was hard to contain. If it hadn't been for my newfound other half, I don't think I could have. And that would have had dire consequences indeed.
Channel what you're feeling, Vera.
I felt T.S.'s arm wrap around my shoulders. He pulled gently to pry me away from the carnage at my feet.
I know you. You blame yourself for this child's fate.
Shouldn't I? I snapped, wheeling around to face him. Isn't it my fault? The whole reason we came out to the Midwest was to investigate this community, and we didn't, because of me.
You had to take priority.
His tone was plain as he said those words, but there was a fire in his rich hazel eyes that didn't match the indifference in his voice. Tell that to his family for me, will you? I'd choke on the words. I walked around him toward the door of the decrepit building. I needed space from him and our nameless victim. I could still feel the fear he had felt when he'd looked across the room to see his sister standing there, her hollow expression haunting him for the few seconds before his death. His guilt at his failure only compounded my own. It was then that I vowed to do everything I could to do what he could not. Save his sister. I owed him that much. I looked back over my shoulder to find T.S. following me at a respectable distance. He knew what I needed in that moment. A lengthy lecture wasn't it. What I needed was to get my wits about me and solve this homicide, and quickly. Whoever had committed this crime was about to get the reckoning of a lifetime. He'd fucked with the wrong girl when he'd so callously ended that boy's life. He'd made this shit personal for me. A decision I'd make him regret. Chapter 2. I did what I could to retrace the victim's steps back to where he'd come from. I recognized the fence immediately, as did Nico. The two of us stared at each other in silence for a moment before pushing it open. Inside was a modest home with a sizable backyard. A woman was there, hanging clothes on a line near the small ranch-style house. When she saw us, her eyes went wide for a second, and she took a step away.
No need to fear,
Nico said, putting his hands up to show he wasn't a threat.
We just have some questions for you.
Do you have a son? I asked, unable to refrain from blurting it out. She looked at me strangely before her expression softened. A calm came over her, and her shoulders relaxed, her arms hanging loosely at her sides. No, I don't have any children. Does that help you? My brow furrowed as I tried to make sense of why the victim had run from that yard. Had we gone to the wrong place? It didn't seem likely that both Nico and I would. Unfortunately, it doesn't. I stepped toward her, pulling my phone with the morbid picture of the victim from my pocket. I didn't want to have to show it to her, but if he wasn't her child, surely she'd know who he was. As I neared her, I suddenly stopped dead in my tracks. Something just beyond her had drawn my attention, and the sight of it made me break out in a cold sweat. Standing just behind the woman was the victim, or a ghostly version of him. He was pale and translucent, but it was most certainly him. He stared at me, then the woman. He said nothing, but continued to look back and forth between us until I started to see what he was getting at. She's your mother, I whispered. As soon as the words left my mouth, he disappeared. What did you say, dear? The woman asked, looking at me strangely once again.
Safira?
Nico called, coming to stand beside me.
What's going on?
Didn't you see him?
Who? Who did you see?
I turned to find him looking at me with concern in his eyes. The boy. He was just here. Before he had the chance to inquire further, I rushed toward the woman in the basket of wet clothes at her feet. I started rifling through them like a crazy person. I could hear Nico calling to me, but I ignored him. She's his mother, I repeated, tossing garments across the lawn, while the woman stood by and watched with a horrified expression. As I neared the bottom of the basket, I started to get nervous, wondering if my idea hadn't been such a great one. But then I came upon what I'd hoped to find. I pulled out a pair of jeans, the kind a teenage girl would wear. A pair far too small for her mother's round body to fit into. I held them up in front of the woman, staring at her with angry eyes. Are these yours? If they are, I doubt you've fit into them for a few years. So I'm curious why it is you happen to have them in your laundry. She looked at me, utterly dumbfounded. She clutched her head while she tried to answer my question. The struggle she felt in doing so was plain in her expression. You told us you don't have kids, but these look like they'd fit a teenage girl, don't they? She nodded. Whose are these? I don't know. I looked over my shoulder at Nico and T.S. They appeared every bit as curious as I was.
We're going inside,
Nico announced, storming toward the house. T.S. wasn't far behind him. While they searched inside, I stayed with the woman who was still confused and shaking. She pulled the pants from my hand and ran her fingertips along them. She looked like she was trying to remember something, like she wanted to make sense of what was happening to her, but couldn't. In that moment, I took pity on her. I knew all too well what that was like. I didn't envy her at all.
Fira,
T.S. shouted. I ran inside the home immediately. Once there, I found the reason for the call. T.S. and Nico stood in front of a wall of photos, a wall that had recently been edited. Pictures had clearly been taken down, a means of removing evidence. The three of us stood there, each wondering the same thing. What in the hell was going on in this small Iowa town? By the time we swept the entire house, it was clear that virtually every shred of evidence that two dependents had ever lived there was gone. Whoever was behind this disappearance was thorough, that was certain. Thorough and powerful enough to have pulled all that off as well as swept the mind of the victim clear of her memories. Memories of her own children. It would take some serious magic to make that happen. We needed muses to come and work his magic on the mother, to see if anything was left in her mind to extract, anything that could help us track down her remaining child, provided she was still alive. If she wasn't, at least we could bring the killer to justice. My creepy uncle had already been dispatched when we'd found the body, so it wasn't too long after that he showed up at the house. He strolled in like there wasn't a killer on the loose that needed to be hunted down and stopped in front of the mother, assessing her. Then, without permission, he placed his hands on her shoulders and leaned in close to her, his eyes probing hers for the answers he desired.
Your children, where are they?
She winced in pain once again, clutching her head.
Your son was here recently. We know this. I want to know who he is. I want a name.
I don't.
Yes, you do. It's in there. Try harder. Search deeper.
I remember the moment it all unraveled for her, the very second that she called forth a memory of her son, one that our attacker had not been able to erase or suppress. Or whatever he'd done to trick her into forgetting her kids. Everything came back. The sheer terror that filled her eyes would have been enough. But I felt it too, all of it. It coursed through me as though it were my own, and I was nearly brought to my knees as she was, paralyzed by the truth.
Simon,
Where is he? Where's my baby?
Muses looked down at her without an ounce of sympathy in his gaze. Murdered.
She choked back a sob, slapping her hand over her mouth to keep her mournful cry from escaping. Helena? Where is my Helena?
Taken, I said, crouching down in front of her. She was taken by the man who killed your son.
Tears streamed down her face as she looked at me beseechingly, silently asking for my help. And she would have it. I would not rest until I found whoever had done this. We're going to find her, I pledged, both her and the being that took her.
She's special, she said softly, grabbing my hands in hers. They both were. I don't understand how this could have happened to them.
Your son was a null. I said it with such confidence that it surprised her.
Yes, he was.
He was not killed with magic. She nodded frantically, biting her lip to keep from crying.
What is special about your daughter?
She's a witch. She's just coming into her powers, but she can already call forth spells that witches 3 times her age can hardly muster the power for.
I looked over my shoulder at the ring of warriors standing around us. Their expressions confirmed what I feared. This was no random kidnapping. She was taken for a purpose. With that knowledge, I turned back to the mother, whose tear-stained face was only inches from mine.
There is something else you should know, she started, the pallor of her face now a sickening white. This town? The beings here have come here for a reason. The children here are special.
All of them?
She nodded. Especially the girls.
My mind was reeling with the implications of that statement.
Muses, I said, still looking at the desperate woman before me. I think you need to go visit a few more houses.
Chapter 3. By the time the day was done, we'd visited over 175 homes in town. At least a quarter of them were missing one or more children. All of them were girls.
Anyone else thinking what I'm thinking?
I asked the group, not really wanting my suspicions confirmed, yet needing that all the same.
They are being collected for a purpose,
Alex said, his voice full of contempt.
Exactly. He said he was taking her to Chicago,
Nico added.
So, if we're lucky, she's still alive and in the city right now.
And if we're not? I countered, shooting him a cynical expression.
Then we find the bastard that stole these girls right out from under their parents' noses, and we kill him. After I torture him, of course.
Who says you get the pleasure?
Because we can't afford you nuking half of the Windy City to get the job done.
I can kick ass without blowing shit up. The smile he gave me was full of challenge.
We'll see about that.
There was still more to be done in Iowa, but it was decided that Muses and I would return to Chicago to start hunting down the girls that were taken. Alec, Nico, and T.S. were to remain behind and deal with the fallout Muses had left in his wake. There were distraught supernaturals that needed to be pacified, Alex and T.S.'s specialty. As I made my way to the vehicle, making sure to keep Muses at arm's length, I looked back to see T.S. watching me go. His face held concern. He knew how much I despised my uncle. He knew what he had done. I forced a tight smile and a wave, then turned my attention to where I was headed, the last place I wanted to be. Trapped in a car for any amount of time with Muses, promised to be pure hell. I climbed in the passenger side to find his long, lithe frame, nestled elegantly into his seat, his cold eyeliner-lined eyes staring as he smiled at me like the serpent he was.
A deadly one at that. Don't forget to buckle up, Saphira.
He laughed as soon as the words left his mouth. The sound was smooth and sultry, but it held an edge of insanity that could not be denied. Just drive the fucking car,
and fast.
In a hurry to get away from me already?
I was in a hurry to get away from you the second you showed up, I muttered to myself, knowing damn well he'd hear me. He laughed again.
Perhaps we need to start fresh, niece.
He turned to assess my reaction, then turned onto the highway, headed east. How about we just turn up the radio as loud as it goes and not talk? I reached for the knob but was cut short by a hand on mine. In a split second, I wrenched it away from him and cowered against the passenger door, pressed as tightly against it as possible. Let's get something straight right now, okay? You don't get to touch me. Ever. He returned his hand to the steering wheel and stared out the windshield. I couldn't be sure, but I thought I felt something emanating off of him. Disappointment? Anger? Or maybe it was regret.
You do realize that I can touch you without inspiring you, don't you?
That's really super that you can control your shit, muses, but I'm still going to take a hard pass on finding out if that's true or not. I'm sure you can appreciate why.
Frankly, the reason eludes me, niece. Perhaps you'd care to enlighten me?
You can't be fucking serious.
And yet, I am.
You really don't know why I loathe you? Why I want you to burn in a fiery inferno? Which, by the way, I could accommodate you with.
I'm all too aware of what you're capable of, Saphira. I have seen what happens to you when you are angered.
I shrunk in my seat, the memory of Little Church flashing through my mind. I have control over it now, I said softly. He shot me a sideward glance.
And the world rejoices.
His droll response pulled me from my memories and stoked the fire within me, the one that wanted to see him burn. I can't wait for you to meet her. Maybe our roles will reverse then.
Her?
Yeah, her. Let's not pretend that you didn't eavesdrop on the conversation I had with my dad at the warehouse.
I heard it. You did not, however, go into specifics.
I don't need to. All you need to know is that you should approach me with a healthy fucking dose of caution from now on. And keep your hands to yourself.
Tell me something, Saphira. Do you think it was my idea to do what I did to you after Little Church?
No, I don't. But Dad had no choice. He needed to know what happened for the greater good.
Then, why do you only harbor resentment toward me? I did not choose to do what I did.
No, I replied, turning angry eyes to him. But you sure as fuck relished in the experience, didn't you? Silence. I'm surprised you didn't blow a load in your pants. If there is such a thing as a look of evil joy, that's what you had on your face while you stared at me and forced me to reveal everything surrounding what happened in Little Church.
I did what I was instructed to do. No more, no less.
Really? Dad told you to poke around at all of those memories?
Your mind is like your mother's. It is harder to navigate. I inspired what I did in an attempt to work around that detail.
You humiliated me. You made me look childish and petty and unstable. His dark eyes turned to me.
I exposed the reason behind what you did, Saphira. It is not my fault that it happened to be childish and petty, therefore making you look unstable. If you want to hate me for revealing those facts to all in attendance that night, that is your right. But perhaps the one you are truly upset with is yourself. You eliminated a town full of people because the boy you love.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?